Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about these resources, please visit sbcconline.org. God bless you.
Father, we are so grateful. We our hearts are full of joy. Our hearts are full of peace and the wonders of your presence. Lord God, as we assemble, as we go into the word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my ear, upon my heart and my lips, so that I would speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. And I ask, Father, the same unction be put upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that as I speak, the power of your Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, so that I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mention in those prayers in their individual lives, agreed individually and said, in our last lesson, we stopped in Romans chapter 8, and we stopped in verses 12 and 13, which are one of the most important verses in that whole portion of Scripture, because there the Holy Spirit tells us through the Apostle Paul, he says, therefore, brethren, like we always say, when you see a therefore in the Bible, find out what is therefore. You know, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. In other words, you don't have an, let me paraphrase it in simple modern English, you don't have an excuse now to live after the flesh. You don't have an obligation. You are no longer forced to live after the flesh like you were before you were born again. See, before you were born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you were forced to live after the flesh because your spirit, soul, and body, you know, were all had the sin nature in it. And Satan dominated you from the air, you know, the prince of the power of the air, dominated your mind, dominated your spirit, dominated your soul, your body. So, you know, that's why God is so merciful to us. Because we were made sinners by natural birth, you know, inheriting the sin nature through the bloodline from Adam. However, now you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit and you have a new divine nature in your spirit, and you now have a mechanism, a law, a principle called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, by which you can now take the sin nature, the new divine nature in your spirit and pump it, so to speak, you know, into your flesh, into the mind, the will, the emotions, and in the physical body, so that the sin nature can not only be dominated, but it can be cleansed out. Therefore, you don't have any excuse anymore. Therefore, brethren, you are no longer a debtor. You're no longer under obligation to live according to the sin nature in the flesh. Then it gives us a dire warning. And that's where this particular scripture is very important, because people have misused the grace of God. You know, like Paul said in one other place, he said, receive not the grace of God in vain. It's possible to receive it in vain. If it, otherwise, he wouldn't say so. You know, you can receive the grace of God and turn it into, like it says, I think it's somewhere in Titus or Timothy, somewhere in there. It says, you know, turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. In other words, using the grace of God as an excuse to continue to indulge in the flesh, you know, saying, well, of course, Jesus's blood is there. It will forgive me, you know, and I'm guaranteed to go to heaven. So I can therefore continue to live after the flesh. And after all, whatever I do is automatically forgiven. Well, number one, it's not automatically forgiven. You have to confess it. And then, the grace and the mercy of God is not automatic in that sense. It is automatic when you do it properly with the right heart, but when you do it with the wrong attitude, it's not. And that's why you have to read Scripture and compare Scripture with Scripture. One of the most dangerous things you can do as a Christian is to take one Scripture in isolation and then try and use an excuse to justify your flesh. And so the Bible says, if we confess and forsake, there's a reason why that Scripture is in the Bible. It's to shut out the dishonest and the disobedience who want to use the grace of God for lascivious. Yes, the blood of Jesus is there to cleanse our sins. And in 1 John, he says, these things write we unto you that you sin not. However, there's a provision. If any man sin, you know, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, whose blood is a propitiation for our sins. In other words, God has made provision for you when you do sin and you fall genuinely, but not when you decide in your heart that you want to continue to sin so that the grace of God can continue to, you know, the blood just can continue to cleanse you and you continue to do it deliberately. The Bible says, shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! So he's saying the same thing here, and it's a dire warning, and we looked at this in our last lesson. He said, for if, that's conditional, you live after the flesh. In other words, if you're insincere, if you're dishonest, if you deliberately want to just continue to live in sin, you know, so that the grace of God may abound, and you know that Jesus is going to forgive you anyway, and then you deliberately continue in it, and don't make any effort to overcome it, he says, you will die. Born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, but you will die. He said, you shall die. Nobody said amen. Not one. Amen. You're not going to die in Jesus' name. But then don't live after the flesh. Hello? But he's very definite. These scriptures are very important to balance, to give a balance, you know, and bring out the truth that has been corrupted today. You know, there's this thing flying around the body of Christ about free grace. You know, God never condemns us. You know, Jesus loves you, and it doesn't matter what you do. You know, God will accept you. That's why, God forbid, I'm going to say this, you know, that's why today even things like homosexuality are being permitted inside the church. And people will say, well, you know, God loves everybody. He loves them too. And it doesn't matter, you know. And then you even find people who say they're homosexual and they're born again. I don't know how that can compute. Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, it's a lack of understanding of the scriptures. Lack of dishonesty about these scriptures. It tells you in black and white, if you live after the flesh, if you continue to allow the sin nature in your flesh to dominate you, and you do not use the provisions that have been made, the blood of Jesus, the life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, if you don't use those provisions to overcome the sin nature and you allow it to continue to dominate you, you will die. Now, that death is at two levels. I mentioned this last week, and it bears repetition. And I like doing this, you know, firstly, and most importantly, because God has commanded me to do it, you know. Like I said many times, I serve you, but I'm not your servant. You see? I'm God's servant. Amen? Now, I'm called by God to serve you. So I serve you in terms of giving you the word of God, serving you the word of God. That's what the word minister really means. Just means a servant. You know, I pray for you, but I'm not your servant. I'm God's servant. So I don't do things to please you. I do things to benefit you. Hello? And so my obligation is to my master, God, not to you. But I must, and that's why I have to tell you the truth when he tells me the truth. There's death at two levels. There is premature physical death, which is the more common one. And that's why this thing I've just read is the reason why so many Christians are dying prematurely. You find Christians dying, you know, all over the place. You know, it's like a child of God, you know. And so I say, oh, that man was a good man. How do you know? Your definition of good and God's definition of good is not the same. They came to Jesus one time. One guy came to the Lord Jesus and he says, good master. Jesus said, why call you me good? You know what Jesus was telling him? Even though it's true, Jesus was good. Jesus was saying, don't judge according to appearance. I look good to you, but are you really sure I am good? That's the Lord Jesus himself. You know? And he said, you know, only God is good. So in other words, if I want to be good, I have to allow God to work in me. Your definition of good is so relative, you know. So when men are living after the flesh, it's like I'm living out. You know, when we talk about living after the flesh, we often think of adultery and fornication, you know, and drinking and smoking and all those overtly bad sins, and they are bad. But there are a lot of other things in the flesh. Envy. Hello? The Bible says, wrath is cruel and rage is outrageous. But who can stand? Amazing scripture. It's the book of Proverbs. You know, it's a work of the flesh. Amen? Anger is a work of the flesh. It will kill. Those ones will kill you just as surely as adultery and fornication will kill you. You see, that's our problem. We try and pigeonhole sins and say, well, these ones are okay. These ones are very, very bad. And these ones are bad, but they're not that bad. Let me tell you something. Especially, this tweet has just come to me. The Holy Spirit just given it to me now. Saul and David. Who should have died? According to our theology today, it should have been David who should have died and Saul who should have been alive, because David committed adultery and he committed murder. What did Saul do? There is no record of Saul committing adultery or murder. Stubbornness and rebellion. It kills faster than murder and adultery. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I just got the tweet from heaven. He said, tell it to them. I'm going to repeat what I said. Stubbornness and rebellion will kill you faster. Now, all of them will kill you. So don't do any of them. Than adultery or fornication. And so you say, when somebody dies prematurely, everybody's looking at, he was a good man. He didn't commit adultery. Oh, he used to do this for this person. But inside that person's heart, there may have been a consistent streak of stubbornness and rebellion, and that's what killed him. Yes. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 15-23, you know. This is why God told Samuel through Samuel, told Saul that he had been rejected. He said, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord also has rejected. These sins are just as are more deadly than some of the other sins we consider. And you know, the thing about it is that those other sins like adultery and fornication and the outward bad sins, and all of them are bad, I'm going to keep saying that, you know, they are such that, you know, that society puts a stigma on them. But things like stubbornness and rebellion are inside. And you may not even know. That's why Jesus said, why callest thou me good? I look good to you, But do you know if I'm stubborn? Do you know if I'm rebellious? Do you know if I'm covetous? Do you know if I'm envious? You see, all those ones are internal. You can't see them, but they are the internal silent killers. I'll repeat that. They are internal silent killers. And they're killing loads of Christians today. So that's why you look at a Christian and say, but this person, you know, he comes to church, he prays, he's very faithful in the choir. That's not a word for the choir. They all froze. The Holy Ghost said, set them free, set them free. No, if I go to get you out of the case, I will. But, you know, that's not a word for anybody in the choir. You know, but it's a word for all of us. You understand? You know, he's so faithful. He does this. He comes to church. He pays his tithe. But he's stubborn and rebellious. He's covetous. He's envious. He's proud. But you can't know. You can't see that. Only God sees that. You know, a lot of outward humility is actually inverted pride. It's not pride. It's pride. Outward, it looks humble on the outside, but inside it is pride. You know, that's why many years ago, in actual fact, I can put a date on it. It was about the year 1999 to 2000. You know, I've been preaching many of these things over the years. Then we started our website. That's when we went on the internet. Went on the internet January 1, 2001. 1992, Papa Ralph came here and preached a message on pregnation. Can you remember it? Those messages I can never forget. You know why? They are in my spirit permanently. In 1990, he preached on perfection. How many people were here? That was exactly 30 years ago. Some people were not born, so you can't put your hands up, but it's all right. You know, in 1990, he preached on perfection. Then in 1992, he didn't come in 91, because we just got to know him then. I really didn't know him properly. The person I knew was Brother Bankole Akimola, my friend, and Brother Banks came in 1987. He brought Ulysses stuff. And then 1988, we didn't bring anybody. Brother Banks and myself preached a seminar on the Holy Spirit here in church. Then you can sit down, please. You know, 89, nobody came. You know, and then in 1990, he brought Papa Ralph. He brought me his tapes in 88. I didn't know who he was. He just said, you know, there's a nice guy in America. His name is Ralph Martin. You know, and he brought him. You know, and in that message, he preached on perfection. You know, and then he preached pregnation, being pregnant. He talked about Elizabeth and Mary. How many people remember that message? You know, about being pregnant with the Christ child. Like, you know, and one pregnant person gets, when they fellowship together, the baby and the other one leaps. Praise the Lord. Anyway, don't let me get off my point. You know, so Papa Ralph comes and he teaches on that. And that sets me. The Holy Spirit used that message to trigger me, you know, into, you know, teaching much more accurately on perfection. That's how I, you know. 1995 was when we had this great meeting, and there's a reason why I'm going through all of this, you know. And how many remember that meeting where the glory cloud came, and people were on the floor and they couldn't get up? I still remember. Oh, yeah. 1995, you know. And so God now began, that's when God now began to break things down for me. And he said, show him what I first of all used to call it, you know, the five, I can't remember what I called it, you know, but it was first of all five steps before it now went to seven, you know, pillars of wisdom and all of that. And the first one was the fear of God. Go and check my website. My first weekly rhema is the fear of God, the first three. And in that revelation, this truth came out about honesty and humility of heart. I'd never heard anybody else teach it like that. It came by clear revelation. You know, what is humility? It is submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. See, it's not complicated. It's a simple, but it is a, by the grace and the mercy of God, I yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, is a clear revelation. And that's how you know a person who is proud. A proud person, excuse me, don't worry, the cough is gone. Praise the Lord. And it truly is gone. Amen. I'm going to talk about that in my main message. All right. You know, but, you know, that's what it is. So a person who always likes to say, I can't do that too. You know, I don't feel like that. That's a proud person. Not even one amen. Not one amen. You can say amen, say oh me. That's a proud person. Jesus is the epitome of humility. Jesus did not feel like going to the cross. In fact, Jesus was honest enough to tell God, I don't want to go. He was honest enough to say, if it be possible, take this cup from me. But he submitted to the will of God when he didn't feel like. So he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. And the Bible records it in Philippians chapter 2, saying that, you know, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. That he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even that is the example. That is the perfect epitome of humility. Humility is submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. When you keep saying, I will not do it because I don't feel like it or I don't think that, you're still proud. You can't say amen, say oh me. I said, if you can't say amen, say oh me. That's what pride is. It's a refusal to as an act of your will, to submit to the will of God, because it cuts grain, it goes against how you feel or what you or your own preconceived ideas. To become humble, one of the things you must learn to do, and that's why you have to exercise your will and pray. That's why we pray those prayers every day. I choose to fear God, so I submit to the will of, I humble myself. And remember, it's not God who's going to humble you. God may humiliate you, but he will not humble you. You have to humble yourself. You know why? Humility is a function of your free will, and God will not violate it. So I choose to fear God, so I humble myself and submit to the will of God even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer, knowing the certainty of his judgment and chastening if I disobey, it's conditional, and the security of his mercy when I obey. So I have more of the humility of the mind of Christ. I didn't pick those prayers out of a heart. They are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that's, if you keep saying that and you keep praying it and you keep practicing it, you're going to get more and more humble. And that's what that is where this humility thing is. And so that I said all of that to say this: there are a lot of people who are not humble at all. They look it on the outside, but they don't submit the will of God when they don't feel like it. Once their feelings or their mind or their thinking is different from what the Word of God says, they will say, I know the Bible says, but. Have you heard that before? If the Bible says there is no but. I said, if the Bible says it, if you are truly submitted, if you are truly humble, there is no but. There's no but. The Bible has said it. So to become humble, what you must first of all learn to do or accept in your heart is that the Word of God is final authority. That is the first step of humility. The Word of God is final authority. No matter what I feel, no matter what I think, no matter what my feelings are and all of that, what God said stays. And that's what, I don't want to get off into this, but I will. You know, because I think the Spirit of God wants me to, I'll just mention it last thing and then we'll get back into the scriptures. And that's what, and this is it. You see, Peter was trying to help Jesus. So Jesus said, the Son of Man will go to, will be captured by the Gentiles. They will mock him and, you know, scourge him and they will kill him, and the third day he will arise. Immediately, Peter said, God forbid bad thing. That's the Nigerian translation. Praise the Lord. Amen. That would is not, in fact, it's not your portion. Have you heard that before? A lot of those is not our portion, is pride. Hey! Whereas that was the very purpose for which he came. That was the will of God. And Peter's feelings, his emotions were totally contrary to the will of God. And he was trying to lead Jesus down a path of pride. And Jesus immediately recognized where he was coming from, that it was Satan. That Satan had infiltrated Peter's emotions and was speaking through Peter to try and get Jesus to feel sorry for himself so he would not do the purpose for which he came. That scenario can be reproduced in so many of our lives and in our situations and in our circumstances. It happens every day. It's just that most of the time we're not aware of it. And where many of us are not as spiritually sensitive and developed as Jesus, so we don't realize the devil. And God, every time we yield to that thing, we are reinforcing pride rather than humility. Because humility is submitting to the will of God when you don't feel like it. Peter didn't feel like Jesus should go to the cross. He's his friend. You will not, you don't know what the Bible says. You will live, you will not die. You declare the glory of God in the land of the living. That's true. You know, that did not invalidate that scripture. But the very reason why Jesus came was to die for humanity. And then he would then be raised from the dead. And then he will live to the glory of God. Sit down. You see, folks, what we have to understand is that the humility begins when the will of God is known. And the will of God can never be known without the word of God. So the reason why so many Christians are not humble and they are still proud is because they don't know the word of God. And when they know it, they don't submit to it. The word of God is clear. All Peter had to do was to go to Isaiah 53. See, Jesus knew Isaiah 53. But Peter did not know Isaiah 53. Thy word have I hid in thy heart, my heart, that I will not sin against you. Once you know the word, then you submit to it. Irrespective of your feelings. And the more you do that, the more humble you get. The less you do that, the more proud you are. Where, how do we get off on this? If you live after the flesh, you shall die. These are the silent killers. Pride, stubbornness, rebellion, envy, covetousness. Go and check them. They're all in the lust of the flesh. And we often think of the flesh as only those very terrible, bad ones. Those ones too are very bad and they're very terrible. But these are worse. Mostly because they are hidden and because they're not corrected. In fact, people don't assign any stigma to it. Because sometimes pride looks like humility. Sometimes pride looks like, come on, leave the man alone. Yeah, you know, everybody must be able to exert their own opinion. Have you heard that before? Let him express himself. Hello? You expect yourself out of the will of God? You expect yourself within the context of the will of God? Are you listening to me? So on the surface, that thing will look, it wouldn't look like pride, but that's what it is. I'm explaining why Christians die prematurely. So to you, you look at that, that's a very good person. I didn't say this. But you see, when you go deep, and that's why you need the Holy Spirit. And that's why Samuel said, God said to Samuel, God does not look the way man looks. Man looks at the appearance, but God looks on the heart. And when you look at the heart, you begin to find out which direction is the will in. Is the will ready to submit to the will of God when it doesn't feel like it? Or is the will holding on to its own opinions? That is the difference between a humble person and a proud person. God wants to save some lives this morning. All this I'm preaching is not in my note. It came all by the Spirit. If you live after the flesh, you will die. Now, God doesn't want you to die. That's why he's telling you this. So stop living out of the flesh, and don't think living out of the flesh is just adultery and fornication. It's all these other things, subterranean, you know, they're there, and you need to understand that they are there and recognize that they are silent killers and get rid of them so that they will not affect you and affect your destiny. The second way of dying is eternal death, which is going to hell. So I say, can a Christian go to hell? Of course they can. If they want to, they'll be very foolish if they do. But to say a Christian cannot go to hell is to misrepresent the Bible completely. The Lord Jesus himself said, he said, every branch in me that does not bring forth fruit, notice the branches in him, is born again. But if it does not bring forth fruit, he says, he takes it away. And it is withered, and men gather them into the fire, and they are burned. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. And because Jesus said it, I'm echoing it. If you can't say amen, say oh me. You know, this wrong doctrine that has permeated the church that you can live anyhow. Now, of course, we're saved by grace and not of works. But in other words, the new birth is a consequence of faith that puts the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit into you. Now, when you have that, you're supposed to now use it by the Holy, the blood, the word, and the Spirit to now live, you know, above the sun. But if you just go back and you continue to live in sin deliberately now, you know, and continue in it, then this result, which is not the will of God, you know, can come out. And we need to know that so we stay away. You know, someone say, Pastor Luby, you're making me afraid. I just did my job. Hello? I'm supposed to scare the hell out of you. That hell that is trying to push you to go to hell. You know, if you're afraid of, I've just said, I've just done my job. The fear of God causes men to depart from evil. So you want to you recognize. Now, of course, it's not easy to go to hell. Let me just say that, you know, on the flip side. You know, and usually to prevent going to hell, God allows premature death. The Bible says so. It says, deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Christ. So that's the flip side, you know. So that's the balance of this thing. So we want to use the blood, the word, and the spirit, these provisions of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, to overcome the law of sin and death, so we don't live anymore after the flesh and we live by the spirit. And so in verse 13, he says, for if you live out of the flesh, I didn't hear you folks, you shall die. Now, you will not die, you will live in Jesus' name. Don't your neighbor say, you will live, you will not die, because you will not live after the flesh. You see, you can't just take one part and leave the other part. I shall live, I will not die. Yeah, because I will not live after the flesh, but after the spirit. Have I helped anybody here? If you still love me, give me a wave offering. They don't love me too much anymore, but that's all right. But, well, he goes going to look at the next 2-3 verses and close. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Let's look at this in the Amplified Bible. So we spent a long time on that first one because the warning is so important, particularly in these days of so-called free grace and people can just do what they like. You know, it's not true. Now, he's not telling you the solution here. So you don't live, you don't have to live out of the flesh. So how do you not live out of the flesh? He tells you now. He says, if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. The Amplified is even stronger than the other one. You know, but that's not your portion in Jesus' name. Because you will live after the Spirit. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually, everybody shout it. Turn to your neighbor and say, habitually means daily. Oh, they say, thank God for good morning, Jesus. Oh, I said that in a joking, deliberate way. You know, that's the reason for daily prayer. See, prayerless Christians will walk in the flesh. You can't help it. Because there's a spiritual force. There's spiritual forces. If you're not applying a stronger spiritual force, that other one will bring you down. It's just like gravity. The reason why the aeroplane is flying is not that the law of gravity has been suspended. The law of gravity is just being superseded by a higher law. The law of lift. You got your engine. You've got the petrol of the planes use kerosene. You know, you put the kerosene, you know, the gas oil in it. You fire up the engine. You put the joystick on, and the thing takes off. You know, and there's a lift of the aeroplane. The aeroplane only stays airborne so long as the engines are on. The fuel is burning. The engines are on, if it's a jet or if it's a propeller, you know, and it's creating, it's maintaining the lift. Gravity is still in operation. Switch the engines off. What's going to happen? The plane's coming straight down. Stop walking in the Spirit. What's going to happen? Habitually. A better word is daily. He said, Pastor, where do you get out from? Jesus himself said, take up your cross daily. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening. I like that word. Because that's exactly what the Bible says. It says you are dead. What it means is, it doesn't mean you're inactive. It means that you have put to death the lusts of the flesh. How? By injecting the life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit into the flesh. So it now neutralizes the effect of the desires of the lust of the flesh. Now, if you do that habitually, you know what's going to happen? You're going to live. Making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body. Let me paraphrase that. The evil deeds prompted by the sin nature in the body. You see, the body, there's nothing wrong with the body. The body, God made it. What has happened is that it has been corrupted by the sin nature. Now, if you will inject the life of God into that physical body on a daily, continuous basis, what is going to happen is that you will crucify, you will deaden, you will make extinct the sin nature inside the body, and then you will live. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. You shall really and genuinely live forever. That's why I said these two verses are so important. They capture the very spirit of what Paul has been saying from chapter 6 chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8 of Romans. That if you will, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you're free. You'll live. You'll live very well. You will live a good life. And Jesus said the same thing when he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Say exactly the same thing. He just used different words, you know, to give us, and that's why the Bible was written for us. That's why we have Matthew chapter 26, and we also have Romans chapter 8. When you put the two of them together, you now get the full picture of what God is saying. That's why you can't just read only one scripture. That's why the Bible says all scripture. You need to have all of the word of God, because he's able to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So what is he saying? How do I walk in the Spirit? By watching and praying. If I stop watching and praying, remember the aeroplane illustration, you know, no matter how powerful the engine is, no matter how much fuel you have, if you switch the ignition off, what's the ignition? Confession, praying in the Spirit. You keep that thing on all day. No one, you see, you can now understand why he gave them those commands. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. You can paraphrase and say, keep your ignition on. The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Keep your ignition on. Something God has just been showing me. I mean, I've been doing this before, but you know, with better precision. You know, throughout the day, now, practically, I say, Lord, have mercy on me. I receive blood, life, and power. You know, then I pray in tongues. You know, as I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm doing what I call in-flight refueling. I'm already praying. You know, and then I have a pause, or the phone rings, or something. I just say, Lord, have mercy on me. I receive your blood, life, and power, and I continue in prayer. I'm constant. It's a constant thing. This book of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, does not depart out of my mouth by the grace and the mercy of God. I'm constantly receiving the blood for cleansing, the life and the power. And I constantly speaking, you know, God's word, constantly praying in the Spirit. Why? I don't want my plane to crash. Oh, Jesus, help me. We're going to stop in verse 15, 16. You know, I was going to get to verse 17, but, you know, the Holy Spirit has done what he wants to do today. You know, say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What he's saying there is this. It is the people. Let me get the right sequence. If you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, you are born again. And because you are born again, you have the life of God and you have the Spirit of God. Therefore, you should let the life of God and the Spirit of God that is inside you, let them lead you. For as many as are led, I wrote it here with my Bible. As many as are inspired, directed, and empowered. Everybody say inspired, directed, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, the children of God. Children of God are, let everybody say, children of God, turn to your neighbor, say, including you and me, are inspired, directed, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. For as many as are, that word led is a little, you know, it's correct, but you know, what I've done by the help of the Holy Spirit is to expand that word. How am I led? I'm inspired. I get an inspiration. I get a witness. I get a direction. You know, then I'm directed. And then I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's how I'm led. And that is the characteristic of sons and children of God. That's why you're not born again, the person who is not born again is not inspired. He is not directed. And he's not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Am I talking to anybody here? Verses 15 and 16, we're going to close on that. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When you got born again, you received a new spirit. You received the life of God inside you. And you know what? It drove out fear. The old human spirit had the sin nature, the satanic nature, and its first, watch this, characteristic is fear. What was the first thing Adam and Eve said after they fell? He said, Adam, where are you? He said, I hid myself. Why? He said, I was afraid. The first characteristic of the sin nature is fear. So that's why he says here, you have not received again the spirit of fear unto bondage that makes you enslaved, that keeps you in bondage to sin. But you've not got a new spirit now, glory to God. It's called spirit of adoption. This is not adoption in the sense of you're an adopted child. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not adopted, you're born. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Adoption here in the Jewish meaning means when you get to a particular age, then you allowed into the family business. It's not talking about adoption in the way we understand it today, where you adopt a child, you know, that you didn't give birth to biologically. So what he's saying is that we have now received the spirit of adoption, the spirit of God, and that's why we intrinsically cry out, Abba, Father. I have a new spirit. That new spirit now reaches, its nature is to reach out to God and say, Abba, Father. Have you noticed that people who are not born again don't call God Father? He's always the Almighty God. Watch it. When a person who is not truly born again and they don't really know God well, you don't hear them calling God Father. They always say, you know, God, you know, the Almighty God, the Creator, you know, and they use all these expressions, and those things are not wrong. It's just that we yes, God is God, but He's my Father. So when I pray, I don't call Him God, the Creator. You know, those are for outsiders. Hallelujah. We who are the children of God, I say Heavenly Father. I say Lord Jesus. I say Lord Holy Spirit, my friend. Unbelievers don't talk like that. They always say, you know, the Almighty, you so common these days, you know, the God, you know, or the Creator, or the Cosmos, or some silly thing. Hello? Verse 16, we close. The Spirit Himself, the King James says itself, but if you look at the other translations, you know, New International Version, Amplified, New King James, the Spirit Himself, I didn't hear you, bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. When you get born again, this happened to me 41 years ago, you get a witness inside your spirit that you are a child of God. I got born again during my youth call. And within a few days, I stopped smoking completely. Then it occurred to me, aha, I'm born again. How did I do it? Just in my room. I didn't go to a crusade or anything. Just accepted Jesus. And a supernatural thing happened inside. I had the witness. And even though I had some struggles in the months that, you know, followed that, I kept telling people, you know, they didn't believe me. You know, I said, I'm born again. I had the witness inside. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and we close. 1 John chapter 5. And where in the world are we? In verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the what? Witness. Where? I didn't hear you.
He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. When you get born again, if no other person on earth knows, you know. If no other person on earth knows, you know. That's why when I got born again, I knew. My friends didn't know. My associates didn't know. But I knew. And thank God, later on, I rededicated my life to Christ, and then I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and by the grace and the mercy of God, I've not looked back since. Amen? When you get truly born again, you will have the witness in you. I like what Kenneth Hagin said many, many years ago. One of the problems we have in the church today is that we have a lot of conversions, but very few births. And you know why? You don't find much travail in the church. For it is as soon as Zion travails, she gives birth to her children. Where there is no travail, you don't really get a real new birth. What you get is mental assent. And then you have a lot of people who they're not really born again. They go to a meeting. Most of it is based on, watch this. This from the Holy Spirit. Is based on human emotions, human paraphernalia. You know, we use music, we use all kinds of things, you know, but there is no birth. Stand to your feet. So they don't have that witness. And that's why you have the kind of shallow Christianity. Honey, I just got a word. Shallow, fruitless Christianity. You get people born again, but you can't tell the difference between the guy and an unbeliever. Because many times, the birthing wasn't done. So there is no real injection of the life of God into the human spirit and a removal of the sin nature by the blood of Jesus. They lead them through a mental thing, but the inner thing does not really take place. So they start coming to church, they join the church, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. There's going to be a big surprise when the glory of God comes to the church. It's going to separate the sheep from the goats. But the good news is, and I like to always end on good news, is that you can be. It's just a question of your decision. You can be and say, God, I don't want a form of godliness. I want the real thing. Everybody, let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't fall into the trap of this plastic Christianity. This Laodicean Christianity that seems to be the common thing in our world today. Get the real thing. True Christianity requires repentance from sin. Lord, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I believe Jesus died for my sins and he was raised again from the dead for my justification. I accept him as my Savior and I confess him as my Lord. And I'm asking, Lord, that you come and help me to live a life of righteousness and holiness all the days of my life. That's why when I lead a sinner's prayer, I say all those things. It's not us enough to say, I accept Jesus. That's important, but did you repent? Have you determined to live a new life? Backed, of course, by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus, help me. This generation, the Holy Spirit is witnessing with my spirit, to my spirit, that this generation, you need to help them. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord,
come,
has come to make
your presence known. Breathe here
the glory
of the risen Lord.
Spirit of the living God,
glory to God.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord,
come,
come and make
your presence
the glory
of the risen Lord.
Let the weight of your glory
cover us.
The Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known. Reveal the glory of the risen Lord.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence.
This simple prayer after me. Say, Father, I confess our sins, especially the sin of carelessly and deliberately living after the flesh. Father, I repent. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, your life and your power in sufficient measure to correct this and start doing things properly. Start living habitually, daily, by the power of the Spirit. Because I am no longer a debtor to live according to the sin nature in the flesh. Father, have mercy on me. I receive fresh mercy and I receive fresh grace to habitually, daily, by your blood, your life, and your power, crucify, mortify the deeds of the flesh, especially pride, stubbornness, rebellion, covetousness, envy, adultery, fornication, and all the lusts of the flesh. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me to crucify daily all these lusts of the flesh. Whenever they arise in my thoughts, in my will, in my emotions, in my body, in my circumstances, put me into remembrance to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to mortify them. And so I will live by the spirit and not by the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. Nekatoshka fredengar to klo. Mercy, Father, selipiki to frede glamatolo mosheke glamatolo to frenengask. Lord Jesus, thank you, Sakaradagla, Rankuska frenenga, Lopri glamatolo mos to fres. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you, Jelepiki to glamatolo, Ombre de la matofrenes, Noske fredela matofrenes, Negitoske frenengi to celebredala mos to fres. Jelika glamatolo mos to fres, Dolomato fredegara, sa. Jelika antos kefrenes. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Just before I sit down, you know, when I pray, when we pray together like this, I get a flash. Just a flash. I just got one. And the flash I got was of me 40 years ago. Young Christian, just been born again. And he says, share the flash with them. I just, you know, just. It was in London, in my room, when I was in Imperial College. And you know what the flash was? Praying in the Spirit. And tell them, I'm not what I am today by myself. No. I, like Paul said, I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. At a very early age as a Christian, I was just a young Christian. Thank God for Kenneth Hagin. Give Kenneth Hagin a clap offering. I just obeyed. I didn't know all the things I know. I just obeyed. And I just saw the flash down and said, go and tell them. Pray. Turn to your neighbor and say, pray a lot in the Spirit. Use the blood. Read the word every day. Speak the word every day. And pray a lot in the Spirit. And you'll be fine.
Thank you. Believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.